You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The Friday edition of the Rob Brown Show goes now. It is Friday, baby. Final hour of the show. Rob Brown, the great one, Lonzo, and you. You know what? Let's feel good here about ourselves just for a minute. And by ourselves, of course, I mean fans of the Atlanta Braves. Yes, we are talking about baseball in the final hour of the show because shut up, I want to. Atlanta gets to 500 two nights ago. They go back under 500 last night. They get back to 500 last night with a win over the DC Nationals. None of that is the news. The news is twofold. Number one, Ronald Acuña Jr. now has two hits in his last two rehab games. One of them, a big dong in his first game back of his rehab stand, gets promoted to AAA Gwinnett, which is a step below the Atlanta Braves. He is within that three-week window to return, which puts his return sometime at the latest in early June. And on top of that, at the same time that the Atlanta Braves get back to 500, the Atlanta Braves also find out that Spencer Strider, I should say Braves fans find out that Spencer Strider is now inside of a week from returning. He has been throwing simulated games, went 5+ innings in his last simulated game. And Snicker said yesterday that he expects that Spencer Strider will return to the big boy roster next week when the Braves travel to D.C. to take on the same Washington Nationals. So within the next 19 days, the Braves will have both Spencer Strider and Ronald Acuña Jr. back on the roster. Along with making moves for both of those gentlemen to return to the roster, Bryce Elder has been sent down. Now, Bryce has been pitching relatively well. Two games in the last 7 days. He went 6 innings in both of those games, gave up less than 5 hits in both of those games. Yet he gets sent down in order to start making the roster moves necessary for the return of a Cy Young caliber, not contender, not with the injury, Cy Young caliber Spencer Strider and Ronald Acuña Jr. to get back into the outfield. That move kind of surprised me a little bit. I don't know why. About half of the decisions that Brian Snicker has been making for this team have surprised me the last few weeks, but this one surprised me a little bit. And I think that it surprised me a little bit because it felt to me as if Snicker had a really good option on the table, which would have been send down anyone of the middle relievers from this squad, move Holmes out of the starting rotation and into a middle relief role, keep Elder inside that relief role? Because Snicker has said a couple of times, we're not going six-man rotation. We just don't have that, which makes sense. And if the roster was absolutely smacking the baseball, if the lineup was hitting inside the top 10, 5 teams in baseball, as they have the talent to do, if they were hitting like a top 5 offense, then I think Snit could say, we don't need depth right now. We got the guys working. We'll worry about depth if someone goes down to an injury. But for now, we're going to go six-man rotation. We'll keep Elder up. Holmes is pitching relatively well. We'll keep him in a starting spot. A.J. Smith-Shawver has been lights out his last couple of times to the bump. We're going to keep him up. I think you could keep a six-man rotation because right now, starting pitching is what has kept the Braves in a spot to get back over that 500 hill. I do not want to disrupt that if I don't have to. I only want to add Spencer Strider to it if I can. And it looked like that was a legitimate possibility, but they decided to send Elder down. Normally in a spot like this, I would say, yeah, I don't really want to question the manager, right? Like, this guy's in the locker room. He's going to know this team better than I'm going to know this team, what with the whole being their head coach kind of thing. I feel like Snit has opened himself to be questioned. I feel like some of the decisions he has made both in and out of games have opened himself up for questioning, and this is one of those spots. Why would you send, when pitching is what is carrying this team right now, when pitching is what has been getting it done, what has been keeping you in the loop, what has allowed you to climb back out of an 0-7 start hole and get yourself back to 500, why in the world would you send one of the guys that has been consistently good for you back down to AAA Gwinnett? Why is that the spot? There are a number of guys in the lineup right now that are not producing. And ordinarily, in a spot like this, if a guy in the 1-9 is not producing, and you are about to bring up a guy that has, whether or not he will, we'll see. But so far, through two rehab starts, Ronnie Acuña Jr. has been hitting the baseball. Got an extra base hit, a single, and a dong in the last two games. If you can bring that guy back up and add him to the 1-9, why would you send down one of the pitchers that has been consistent for you? It doesn't make sense to me, especially when you have an out. Holmes has pitched relatively well for the Braves. He had a gem two times out ago, and he had a solid outing the last time. Again, like the Braves who have, for the starting rotation, the Braves that have a loss or two on the record right now, and I include Chris Sale in this, who will be getting the start tonight on the road at Fenway Park up against the Red Sox. The Braves that have a losing record off the bump, almost all of them have a loss somewhere in there where they lost like a 1-0 game, a 2-1 game, a 3-2 game. And in almost all of those losses, they lost a game where the offense gave them two hits. One hit, no hits, no run support, whatever. Why would you send Bryce Elder, who has been consistent, down to the minors instead of sending one of your relievers down? Why would you not send Hernandez down? Why would you not send Joe Jimenez down? Why would you not send a reliever down? Let them get some innings. Let them find some stuff. Bulk up your bullpen, move Grant Holmes into that role, who has, again, been pitching well. That way you can use Grant Holmes more. You ask him for one, maybe two innings every couple of days, you get to keep a guy in the rotation who has been one of the few consistent pieces for you, and add both of those guys. It doesn't make sense to me. I don't understand why that would be the move. Why would you not send down one of the spots that, again, the Braves should be two games over 500? Because the night before last, they lost a game exclusively because of the bullpen. They got a gem of a performance off the bump. They were hitting the ball well enough to take a 4-2 lead. Take it into the, what, sixth inning. And then you had relievers come in and give up four runs in an inning and end up costing you the game. Why would you not play it that? I don't understand it. Somebody may be able to explain it. One of you baseball guys that just gets it more than me may go, oh, here's the reason why. But Bryce Elder is one of the guys that's been throwing the ball well for you. Last time out was that 5-4 loss to Washington. Six innings, five hits, one run, three Ks. At Pittsburgh, 3-2 loss. Six innings, five hits, three runs. One of them was a dong. Two of them was a dong. Eight strikeouts in that game. Got to win that game. Time before that, a 4-3 win over the Dodgers. Five innings, four hits, two earned runs, six strikeouts. Against the Rockies, 6-3 wins. Six innings, five hits, three runs, four Ks. Worst performance, but he had run support. St. Louis, six innings, five hits, one run in that game. This guy's consistently performed off the bump, and he's the guy you option down to the minors? I don't understand that at all. Since we're talking baseball, I'm curious as to if any of you baseball guys are into the first ever Major League Baseball rivalry weekend. I like this a lot. Listen to some of the matchups that are on the schedule for Major League Baseball this weekend. I got the Astros and the Rangers. A Lone Star State showdown. One of the old intrastate rivalries that bubbled up in the minors for decades and grew slowly to the big league level once interleague play began. This one's fun. They call it the Silver Boot Series. Okay, cool name. I'm sure it's got a good trophy to it. Here's what I do know. The two biggest metro areas in Texas, both of which claim the stake of being the center of the Texas cinematic universe. Two teams that could, with a capital could, theoretically be in the mix for the AL pennant at the end of the year. This series is not just a good state showdown. And y'all know that people from Texas love nothing more than showing you how much better than you are. They are. I'm in. I think that's great. While that's happening, we got a showdown to the Subway Series. The Mets and the Yankees. Two teams that are about 10 miles apart from each other. Both of whom pass through Grand Central Station when they're on their way to play each other. If they took the subway, they don't. But you get it. That's why it's called the Subway Series. Let's go. The Cardinals and the Royals. A pair of squads from Mizzou playing each other. Hilariously, these two teams don't like each other at all. This is the biggest rivalry in baseball that nobody ever talks about. This series could be fun, especially considering the Redbirds are better than anybody thought they were going to be. And the Royals are exactly as good as everybody thought they were going to be. Not as good as we'd like them to be. Both of them started sub-500, but now both of them are in playoff spots. Up to Chicago, Illinois, where the White Sox and the Cubs are going to have themselves a little Chicago rivalry. 5.5 miles between these two stadiums. Natural rivals share a city divided by the North and the South sides. If you are a fan of the Cubs, you hate the Sox. If you're a fan of the Sox, you hate the Cubs. This one is one that if there is going to be fisticuffs thrown on a baseball diamond this weekend, this is one of those spots that it could happen. Cleveland and Cincinnati. A little, what's the interstate between Cleveland and Cincinnati, Lonzo?
It's a really long road, dude. One's at
250 miles.
Yeah, it's really, I don't think it's one single road.
It is, Interstate 71.
Yeah, I didn't think 71 went all that way.
That's what the internet says.
Okay.
Interstate 71 separates these two in-state rivals. Cleveland has won 76 of the 135 times that they have played. The Reds haven't won the season series against Cleveland in 10 years, last beating them 3 out of 4 in 2014. But Terry Francona playing his old team here. This one's kind of interesting. Francona's reception from the Guardians will not take place until they move back to Cleveland for the next series, but he does get to take on his old team. Maybe a little extra pop there for the Reds.
All right, I was wrong about 71, but in fairness, I've lived here over half my life.
That's 250 miles. Who knows, right?
I've lived here over half my life. I forgot, okay?
Athletics and the Giants. It's no longer the Bay Bridge series because the Oakland A's are no longer the Oakland A's. They are in Sacramento, about 90 minutes away. But even if it is not a direct geographical rivalry like it used to be, it is still a rivalry nonetheless. These two teams played in the 1989 World Series. The A's swept that series, but you may remember it because that was the Earthquake series. But this is a nasty fan rivalry. And on top of that, the Athletics, now of Sacramento, the not Oakland Athletics, have lost a bunch of fan support. Will they show up and show out for an old rivalry? Let's go up to Maryland, where the Nationals and the Orioles are set to play an interstate series there, the Beltway series, as they call it. Not a bunch of on-field intrigue in this. But D.C. and Baltimore are a stone's throw away from each other. And the Nationals have started to pick up some fan support. Seattle and San Diego is going on. We got the L.A. series between the Angels and the Dodgers. The Dodgers are going to win with a run differential of about plus 1,000. So it's not that compelling. I wish it was. It should be. But the Angels' ownership hates itself. Not the best rivalry, but maybe a competitive one. Tampa Bay taking on Miami. A little Sunshine State showdown in the midst of the Lightning and the Panthers over the last couple of years in the NHL, which has been a much more intense and competitive rivalry, but still an interesting one. Pittsburgh and Philadelphia, Minnesota and Milwaukee, Detroit and, okay, then there's the weird ones. Detroit-Toronto, Atlanta-Boston, Colorado-Arizona. Rivalry weekend kicks ass.
All right, Michigan is Canada South, so that's not really a surprise.
Okay, fair enough. Fair enough. Southern Canada taking on actual Canada. Take a break. Back after this on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Optimize your nutrition this year with Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal service. Factor's fresh, never-frozen meals are dietitian-approved, ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from 40 weekly options across 8 dietary preferences like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Eat smarter at factormeals.com/listen50 and use code LISTEN50 for 50% off plus free shipping on your first box. Factormeals.com/listen50, code LISTEN50.
The Rob Brown Show back on your radio. It's the Fan Upstate. Rob Brown, the great one, Lonzo, you rolling towards the end of the show, towards the end of the week. We have not yet talked about the Carolina Hurricanes and the NBA playoffs. So let's take a look at those very quickly. We will start with a quick take on the Nuggets and the Thunder. From last night, it was game 6. The Nuggets faced elimination. They take a 119-107 victory away from OKC. And that extends this series to a game 7, which will take place on Sunday night. No better words in all of sports than playoff game 7. Listen, I still think the Thunder are winning the series. I like the Nuggets. I got a soft spot for the Nuggets. I love some Nikola Jokic. I actually really like Jamal Murray. He is never mentioned in the same breath as some of the best players in the game, despite the fact that he is, you know, one of them. But this one was simple to me. The Nuggets have one weakness, which is they have no depth. Unfortunately for the Nuggets, that's kind of a gigantic one weakness. That's a huge one weakness in the playoffs, in the second, third, and championship rounds of the playoffs. Not having depth will lose you entire series. And the fact is, they have none. They went 3 off the bench last night. Peyton Watson, Russell Westbrook, and Julian Strother. They won this game because they had a bench player finally show up and do something. 4 of 8 from the floor was Julian Strother, including 3 of 4 from 3. They came in the second quarter, and when Strother knocked down the back-to-back threes that really got his night started, that fan base in the Big D, and I do mean Denver this time, that fan base came alive. Like, that stadium became the stadium, the arena, the gymnasium that Denver needed it to be to make sure that OKC did not wear them down. They had the adrenaline pumping all the way through to the end of this game, which is what carried Denver, in my opinion. The reality of this situation is that is really the second game in this series. They have had one game where Russell Westbrook has gone off coming off the bench. If they want to win a game 7, it has to happen again. Unfortunately, it has been the exception, not the rule, for this Nuggets team in series 1 and series 2. Also, unfortunately, game 7 is at OKC, and home court advantage is real in the NBA. So, with that being said, I would love to see Denver move on. I would love to see Nikola Jokic, as much as I actually really like Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. I also think SGA is the most rules-manipulating player in the game. I think SGA, if you watch this kid play, and I love watching this kid play because he is a baller, dude. SGA has developed what I heard described yesterday as the zombie arm technique, when he drives to the rack. In that, he knows that he can extend the forearm out, but what he does, and I honestly think it's brilliant, and I think you'll probably see more players trying to pick this move up from him. When he drives to the rack, right before he's going to take contact, he throws his offhand up, but he doesn't, as most players do, push with it, right? Most guys put the palm out and they make the contact and they push through that contact. SGA does something that I think is not just brilliant, but I think, because I've never tried it in a game, when he puts the hand up, he doesn't put the hand up and then push off with it. He puts the hand up, Zoe, and the palm stays down, and he puts the arm into you to create the space, but then he doesn't extend it. He just kind of like lets the arm be wherever it is when it makes contact.
So it's a Penta handshake. Yeah,
he does the like Zero Madre, and he like taps the hand. It's kind of like that. Like the hand dangles, and the arm doesn't really extend. He puts the arm into you, but then he lets you, by way of keeping that arm loose and flexible, you can push through the arm. So what ends up happening is he puts the arm into you to create the space, to own the space, but then he leaves the arm kind of weak, right? Like he doesn't flex the arm. He leaves the arm kind of weak so that when you go into the arm, it folds back into him. So you push the arm into him, and it's a foul on you. Like it is a genius way to claim the space and then let you, and here's the thing. It's not that you push through the arm to get to him. It's that he puts the zombie arm out. He weakens the arm so it's flexible and it's relaxed. And then he jumps into that space, right? So it's kind of hard to illustrate if you're not watching on the stream, which you should at facebook.com/TheFanUpstate, TheFanUpstate on YouTube, TheFanUpstate on Twitter, The Rob Brown Show on Facebook, on YouTube, and on Twitch. When he puts that hand into you and it's loose so it's bendable, he then jumps into the space that he created with that arm. And so it if you're not really like totally dialed into it, when he puts that arm up and he jumps into it, it creates an illusion to some degree that the defender collapsed the arm on the hand.
How does it not get hurt, though? Because if you're holding that loose right there, how does that not hurt when people run into it?
It's because you don't run into it. He runs into it, right? So like it's hard to illustrate.
No, what I'm saying is if someone runs into your arm when you're holding it out there, it's going to hurt.
No, that's the thing.
Especially if you're not flexing or putting it in
the
way.
That's the thing. Nobody runs into it there. So he puts the arm like this and then he jumps into it like that. Right?
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So, like, ordinarily, if an offensive player throws the hand up, I know I'm acting it out on the stream for those of you not watching, but Lonzo gets it. So he puts the arm, and in most offenses, I would put the arm here, and then I would drive to it, right? And I would leave that arm flexed.
So you're putting the arm in sideways into their chest.
Right. And so you put the arm, you put the forearm into the chest. And if you're an offensive player, you push into that. You find out, okay, is the defensive player going to go this way, in which it's a step back, or is he going to go that way and I'll drive around him? Or you put the arm out and the defender has to push through the arm to get to you, which is a foul. What he does is he puts the arm out, and then instead of letting the defender come through the arm to get to the body space, what he does is he jumps into his own arm. The forearm goes into the chest, and then the forearm stays put. And he jumps into it. But it creates the illusion that the defender has pushed through the arm to get to him, which is where the foul call comes from. That's why SGA goes to the foul line more than any other player in the NBA.
How is this not as bad as a flop?
I mean, because it's you could argue that it is. In fact, a lot of people are arguing that it is. Last night, SGA shot 11 free throws for the Thunder. Three of the starters shot zero. Chet Holmgren shot three. Nobody off the bench shot more than two. So there was one player who shot three free throws, one player who shot two, and SGA shot 11. Nobody else shot a free throw. The only player in the game who shot more free throws than SGA was Nikola Jokic, who shot a dozen, but that is because he's a post player. They should shoot more free throws than anybody else. One of the arguments against SGA as the MVP is that a huge percentage, more than any other NBA player, a huge percentage of his points scored came from free throws that he generated the foul, which a lot of people say is as bad as a flop. So a good chunk of the reason that Nikola Jokic is even being considered for the MVP, I think he is the MVP. I think Jokic should get another MVP. But part of the reason you can still bet on him at decent odds to upset SGA as the MVP, is because some of the voters on the MVP award, on the MVP award may take that stance of SGA is a guy who commits a basketball crime that is equivalent to flopping for free throws. He's just smarter about it. He's just more mentally. Now, there will be some other people who go, that's part of the game, right? Every game, manipulation of the rules to gain an advantage is 100% a part of the game. So there are some people who will say that's part of making him the MVP. But the point here is it is brilliant the way that this guy plays the attacking guard position. It is brilliant the way that he gets to the cup and he makes guys not foul him, but get the call anyway. It's a blast to watch him play. All of that being said, it really just comes down to last night, the Denver Nuggets finally had a guy come off the bench and provide them with enough substance to win the game. Unless Russell Westbrook does what he did in the first series, or unless somehow Julian Strother does what he did in the last game, I do not think the Nuggets can win on the road against the Thunder in Game 7. We will find out. We also get to see Boston and New York in Game 6. Can the Beantown Celtics force another game? We'll talk about that and more when the show returns on Monday, but we do have one segment left. When we come back, how much impact do voices that are not a part of college football's governing body have on college football and its governing body? Two stories that I want to break down. We'll do that when we come back on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America. For America.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hey, everyone. Summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high-quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Optimize your nutrition this year with Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal service. Factor's fresh, never frozen meals are dietitian approved, ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from 40 weekly options across 8 dietary preferences like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Eat smarter at factormeals.com/listen50 and use code LISTEN50 for 50% off plus free shipping on your first box. Factormeals.com/listen50, code LISTEN50.
So, football's governing body, the National Collegiate Athletic Association, and football's real governing body, the College Football Playoff Committee, they obviously have final say on everything that happens in the landscape of collegiate football. How much say do you think that fans and litigators have over the landscape of college football? And I ask that question for a reason. There are two very interesting stories that are going on right now. Neither one of them can cause, do I think, anything, to be honest with you. Neither one of them, do I think, is going to make a difference. But there are two stories going around right now that I find at least somewhat interesting from the standpoint of, might we see a change, even if it's not officially announced? Both of them have to do with the Big Ten, have to do with Fox, and have to do with the big noon kickoff, TM. One of them comes from, and we briefly mentioned this yesterday, but I wanted to get back to it. One of them has to do with a lawmaker in the state House of Representatives in the beautiful state, I assume, of Ohio. Tex Fisher, which is a name that is not Ohioan, but still badass. Tex Fisher is a representative for the state of Ohio who has presented a bill that is designed to almost entirely end noon kickoffs for at least the Ohio State University. This is a spot that the Ohio State Buckeyes obviously have a prominent role in. Fox has big noon kickoff, and then Fox likes to roll into their biggest Big Ten game of the day, which, yes, ordinarily involves Ohio State University. The bill that has been proposed by Tex Fisher has a couple of conditions to it. Outside of the rivalry game with Michigan, which is traditionally played at noon Eastern, it would prevent a game involving a state university from beginning before 3:30 p.m. on Saturdays if it involves a state school, or if it involves two teams ranked inside of the AP top 10 at the time of the game. Now, this bill's probably not going to pass. This bill is probably not going to go through. And if this bill does go through, what is interesting about it is that it would codify a penalty for any teams or any games that break the conditions of the bill. If you schedule a game before 3:30 p.m. involving a state school of the state of Ohio or two teams inside the AP top 10 in the state of Ohio, it would incur a $10 million fine. Now, there's a couple of talking points to this bill. Number one, this bill is designed, depending on how you look at it, to do one of two things. Number one, and this is the way it's going to be sold. It is meant for the businesses at home games, right? Because this game, this bill doesn't apply outside of the state of Ohio. So if Ohio State is at Iowa and Fox schedules it as the big noon kickoff, then this wouldn't apply. But if it's Iowa at Ohio State, this would apply. And it would incur a $10 million fine. The justification for this bill is going to be that by playing a noon game, you limit the number of hours of profitability for the local economy around a college football game. If I own a bar that is next door to the stadium or within a block of the stadium, if the game's at noon, I can open at 10 a.m. and I have effectively an hour to an hour and a half to make as much money as I can make, and then it's over. Maybe I'll get some stragglers after the game is over, some revelry if we get that dub, but it's not going to be the same crowd as the full crowd there for a tailgate. However, if I can open at 10 and the game's not till 3:30, that gives me 4.5 or 5 hours to be open and make money. If the game is at night, a 7:30 kick, that gives me 9 hours to turn tables as quickly as I can. If I own a clothing store, selling stuff for 2 hours is not as beneficial as profitable as selling stuff for 9 hours before a night kick or even 5 hours for an afternoon kick. The other reason this is going to happen is because people love their tailgating. And the people who tailgate largely are the people who can afford to go to games. And the people who can afford to go to games are the people who've got mucho dinero, my dudes. Mucho dinero. And not everybody, but most people who tailgate prefer a longer tailgate, longer than a couple hours. Now, I don't know if Ohio State has the same rules, for instance, that South Carolina does. I know that South Carolina only opens their fairground tailgating lot for X amount of hours before kickoff, which I think is silly, to be honest with you. I think it's kind of silly if you have a night game that you don't open the parking lot. Now, again, I don't know what time it is because I haven't been to a night game in Columbia since 2023, I think. I've only been to a couple of day games. But if I got a 7:30 kickoff, if I want to park my RV at 10 a.m. and start hammering down some bratwurst, why would you not want me to do that? Why would you not want to generate an atmosphere that is known for its tailgating? Hell, Ole Miss is only known for its tailgating. Why wouldn't you want that? Now, there's a second story that is going around because it's not just Tex Fisher that wants it to stop. On Monday, the network began revealing kickoff times for some of the prominent games in the 2025 college football season, which includes a season opener between Ohio State and Texas. That is likely a top five matchup. Both of those teams are going to be inside the top five when the season starts. And that game kicks off at noon. Welp, immediately, an Ohio State Buckeye fan got a little bit upset about it. An individual known as Buckeye Blitz has started a petition on change.org to, quote, all caps, stop Fox Big Noon Kickoff. The petition in its caption says, Fox Big Noon Kickoff has been ruining marquee matchups for too long. Today, 5/12/25, Fox announced that Texas at Ohio State, the season opener for both teams on August 30th, will kick off at noon. This has gone too far. A top five matchup should never, all caps, kick off at noon. It gained 300 verified signatures within about 10 minutes of time.
Wait, you said 300?
Yeah, but in like 10 minutes.
But you said 300?
Yes, but within like 10 minutes.
Okay.
Get 300 people to do anything in 10 minutes.
300.
You could tell me right now there's $1 billion waiting outside. You got a good chance I'm not out there in 10 minutes, all right?
Ain't nobody believe what you just said.
No, that's not true. You are correct. That is entirely untrue. But if you told me free lunch was downstairs, no, that's also not true. Not the point. Point is, whatever. Here's what I'm saying. What I'm saying is, outside of Lonzo, there seems to be a pretty decent groundswell. Enough to get...
Wow, 300 is not a groundswell.
In 10 minutes
okay.
of a random-ass online internet bill. Okay. The point is not how many people will or will not sign this thing.
It is for me.
The point of this is, between a fan petition and between a politician willing to go to the floor of the state capitol with a proposed bill... The state of Ohio has got some sane people who recognize that a top five matchup in college football should not be kicking off at noon. Give me the day to get prepped. Give me the day to make sure the mountains are blue, the brats have got the grill marks on them. Give me a day to prepare. And I'm glad that the good people of Ohio are coming around on this. Mm-hmm. All of them except Lonzo.
Yeah, this is all a waste of time. Especially the politician doing the thing. It's just, hey, look at me. I don't like noon kickoffs. I'm going to get something done. No, you're not. Shut up. The fan I'm okay with. Because this is being a fan. The politician I got a problem with. Fans are going to do stuff like that. And fans and some people think that they are the representative of all people when there may only be like 300 people.
I wish I would have talked about this earlier in the show because I'd like to start a poll and I'm going to write it down to do it on Monday. We'll see if I remember it or accidentally push the erase button between here and there. But I'm curious, if I made you, dear listener, the czar of college football, I would like to propose.
The arbiter, if you will.
The arbiter of college football. I would like to propose a rule. All games involving two teams in the top 25 must be played at night. All games involving two top 25 teams must be played at 7:30 p.m. or later. Who's on board? How many of y'all are on board? All AP top 25. We're two teams are matched inside, not one, two teams inside the top 25. All top 25 games where it's top 25 v. top 25 should be played at 7:30 p.m. or later. All right. Who's on board? Who's with me?
I, as a fan, like 300 guy, I only think about me. And you know what a noon game is for me? Do you know what it is, Rob? Do you know what a noon game is for me? It's a game I can watch.
You know what it is for me? It's a game I can't.
You can.
No,
yeah,
I can't.
You absolutely can.
No, I can't.
Yeah, you can.
No, I can't. I have a show to do.
You have bragged 1,000 times about how many TV screens you have. You absolutely would have it on.
If I am doing a live radio program.
Dude, come on.
And I am solely dedicated to the people, and I am because I am a man of the people. If I'm solely dedicated to the people, I can't sit there and evaluate the defensive tactics that the boys are using. I can just only look over and go, oh, Minnesota scored a touchdown. I don't know why I went Minnesota.
I watched Ohio State's playoff game while doing the Upstate Pulse annual Christmas karaoke special.
Yeah, but
I did miss one line, but that's because it was I hadn't had a line in like 10 minutes. So, I mean, you know, I still would have missed it whether I was watching the game or not.
I as the future president of college football, which I'm angling towards, I'm working on it.
Mm-hmm.
I propose an amendment to the college football constitution, which is definitely a real thing, that all games involving two top 25 teams must be played at 7:30 p.m. or later, end quote. Texter said there will be 8 noon regular season games in a row. Oregon, Washington, USC, and UCLA will never have a home noon Eastern time game. That's from Buckeye Night. Yeah, it's true. A noon game for those teams is 10 o'clock in the morning on the left coast.
Yeah, you know what? Here's the thing. I don't really care. And I don't think the players care as much as you seem to think they do. And if the fans cared as much as you're making a big deal about it, then the stands wouldn't be full, but they will be.
No, they're still going to go. I'm just not going to be good and lubed up like I would for a night game.
All right. Lubed up. The first thing that's X-ing is Diddy.
What I'm going to say, I would get hammered in the parking lot first.
All right, again. The first thing that's X-ing is Diddy.
Dude, there's some gross stuff coming out about this lawsuit.
All right, you guys got
not
the
lawsuit,
joke.
Court
you guys
rule.
Got the joke. He's just trying to slide right past it.
Which will be easy in this case to do. Diddy is X-ing because
you're all
the
lubed up, yes.
The trial of Diddy hath begun, and the gross stuff is already calling. I think what's there's been some interesting things. If you're following this case at all, there's been some interesting stuff. Like, for instance, the names of the celebrities that have been subpoenaed to potentially testify, which we don't know what their role in this is, or if they had one, or if it's just hearsay or whatever. But one of the things
could all be freak off.
They could be. There's also some stories about things that Diddy was trying to or did successfully make people do,
coerce,
which is pretty gross.
Yeah, coerce.
It's a really disgusting, evil story, top to bottom.
It is, and it's one of those things where you can try to avoid it, but at the same time, it's kind of like you're like, is it as bad? Oh,
yeah, it is.
Oh, and it's probably going to get worse.
However bad you think it is, unless you're just a really questionable. Now, again, if you want to do some freak off stuff with your partner and both of you are consenting adults, that's your business. Keep it behind your doors and I'm good with it. But like the stuff that he was apparently coercing people into doing, yeesh, is bad.
Yeah.
Is bad.
Yeah, and we're only hearing part of it so far. All right, the next thing that's X-ing is Pluto.
Pluto. Okay, I don't know if this is why it is X-ing, but I'm going to take a stab at it, and then you tell me if I'm wrong or right. I believe it is X-ing because sometime in the next couple of weeks, Pluto will finish its first full orbit of the sun since its discovery, however many years ago it was, despite its demotion from planet to exoplanet and exoplanet to protoplanet. Pluto will finish its first full rotation of the sun for the first time since it was discovered.
All right, Pluto is X-ing because William Shatner has decided to go at everybody about why Pluto is a planet. And if you follow him on X, there are some interesting things, including him saying someone asked Elon to ask Trump to do an executive order to say that Pluto is actually a planet.
It's the biggest planet, sir. There are many planets, but this one's the greatest of planets. I say it's a planet, it's a planet.
And then he says, go back in time and tell the people who discovered the planet and tell them it's not a planet, because this is just post after post after post of William Shatner defending Pluto.
You know what? I will say that much to the chagrin of many of my friends who learned that Pluto was a planet when they were in elementary and middle school, I am of the opinion that by the definitions we set a planet, Pluto is not a planet. That's not to say it's not a notable governing body in the sky, but it's not a planet.
All right, it's going to surprise everybody, but I disagree with Rob. Pluto's a planet.
It's not.
It's absolutely a planet.
There are scientific definitions of the word planet that it does not meet. It is not a planet.
Frank, you're just wrong. It's not a planet. It's a big asteroid.
If we're not going to follow the definitions of things, why have them? Why have them?
I should not do that voice in my present condition.
Yeah, you know what? I'm glad you gave yourself a coughing attack to end the show.
Whatever.
You deserved it.
So you enjoy my pain.
That's it for us, kids. Thanks for being here. Hope you enjoyed the show. If you didn't, you got bad taste in radio. Here's the good news. Bet for the Cycle tomorrow, noon to 4 with me and Cody Decker, and the Rob Brown Show should return, we think, fingers crossed, on Monday to do it all over again, but better. See you then. For Lonzo, I'm Rob. Have a great weekend. Don't drink and drive. I'll punch you in the face. See you back here Monday on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate. Later!
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America. For America.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere. Applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.